you're just joining the broadcast, last hour turned out to be probably the most educational hour of water treatment we've had live on air.
I'd like to summarize that hour by, if you're shopping for water treatment or softening equipment, just go to rosieonthehouse.com. You won't be steered wrong, okay? Just go there. There's not going to be no snake oil sold by any of the guys that carry the Rosie on the House certification.
And you'll notice as you switch markets, whether you're in Sedona, Prescott, Phoenix, Tucson, Flag, Green Valley, you'll notice brands, different brands, competing brands. It's the people behind it that are selling it, because a good water softener, like you said, it's an ionic exchange, and there's a couple manufacturers that are pretty good. It's the people behind it selling it. But we did have we did have someone disagree with us.
Well, that's not unusual, especially when it comes to water treatment.
Yeah.
What's the position? What are we going to argue here?
The cleanest, most purified water has a little garlic, a little cayenne, a little Louisiana boil, little onions, and ready to take crawfish.
And 40 pounds of crawfish. Okay, all right. I'll concede to that. That's about as good a water as you can get for sure. Hey, before I go on to our next topic on home security, I want to talk to what a lot of people are using in their sliding patio doors and windows that they don't know it, but is creating a very false sense of security. But we've got callers on hold. We'll get to that in just a minute. Let's take the callers at 1-888-767-4348.
Paul, welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Yeah, I want to do something in my daughter's house. She's got a 1,200 square foot, one story, flat roof. Garage is like an angular roof that accesses the crawl space, which is about 2 feet between the insulated ceilings and the actual flat roof of the building. And I want to turn around and reduce the temperature up there during the hotter weather, put a vent on one side and a thermostatically controlled fan on the other, figuring the air temperature up there is about 165, 170 degrees. And even when the ambient is 110, if we can get a fan going up there, we can probably lower the ambient at least 20, 30 degrees.
Okay. It makes a lot of good intuitive sense, but let me talk you through all the ramifications of power ventilating your attic, okay? Has she been in the house a while?
Yeah. She's been in there 2 years.
Okay, 2 years. And she is a year-round resident, lives there in the summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And what are her summer cooling bills? Do you know what her highest summer cooling bills
they're
are?
They're not bad. Actually, I think the highest is like about $200. And I put a 3.5-ton carrier unit up there, 13 SEER, when we bought the house about 3-4 years ago.
And is it an all-electric home, or does it have gas?
Yeah, it's all electric.
Okay. And is there only one occupant in the house?
No, her, the other half, and the little baby.
Okay, all right. So there's three in the house. I was surprised at how low the bill was. And in the midwinter, that bill probably drops to maybe just below $100, I would imagine, depending on how much heat they use. This winter, they probably didn't use any.
Exactly.
Okay. So their summer cooling bill is $100 a month, Paul. Okay. Now, only 10 to 15% of that is due to the heat gain through the attic. $10, $15. If you want to cut their utility bill, if you want to increase their comfort in the house, you do not spend money putting a power ventilator on that attic, which intuitively seems like such a good idea, but it's not. Because when we power ventilate that attic, generally speaking, the ones I've seen, they aren't allowing enough intake. So when we create a negative pressure in that attic, we're actually going to be sucking the air conditioning out through the ceiling holes, at the ceiling fans, the recessed can lights, the exhaust fans in the bathroom and the kitchen. You're going to drop the temperature of that attic space, but you're going to do it by sucking the air conditioning out of your house. People get carried away throwing insulation in their attic because, one, insulation tends to be fairly cheap, and so you can buy a lot of it and throw it in there. We want an insulation value of an R38 below the Mogollon rim. That's all you need. The key is making sure that R38 is absolutely properly installed. A 5% void in any of that insulation, a 5% void. So I'm talking 60 square feet in this house. If 60 square feet of it is disturbed because somebody went up there and added a speaker or was running some wiring for extra light, if 60 square feet is moved or not to the installed properly to the R38, you're getting the equivalent of a 50% reduction in efficiency throughout the whole house, because you are creating a thermal venturi right there at the shallow point of the insulation. Let's make sure she has an R38. Let's make sure it's properly installed. You can passive ventilate that attic as much as you want. Do not actively, do not power ventilate it. People tell me all the time, yeah, but I'm going to use a solar-powered fan. Well, that's great, because now you're not paying anything to suck the air conditioning out of your house. Don't power ventilate attics. I stand on this absolutely firmly. Don't do it. Passively activate your attic. R38 insulation, that's the most economical, comfortable way. If the house isn't comfortable, you've got to look first at windows and doors. That's the windows are the great majority of the heat gain you have in your house. So if you haven't sunscreened the windows, start there. Sunscreen the windows. Create a secondary layer of shade by properly landscaping the yard. Get some shade trees out there on the south and the west side. Make sure the tree's planted a good 15 to 20 feet away from the house. Don't put it right up against the house. Those are the things that you can do to not only conserve on your energy bill, but create a more comfortable house inside.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned earlier from that last caller, or the caller in the last segment, about the triple pane windows. So when you're talking about getting in energy efficient windows, triple pane, that's beyond the point of economic return.
It is.
The benefit with the sunscreens or the shade tree or awning or canopy of some kind is it's creating that additional airspace or that additional layer off the window. Those panes so close together just don't provide that kind of return. You've got to create that extra airspace. So if you're cooling it by shading it by a tree and then a sunscreen, by the time that heat ray gets to the window, it's already gone through a few layers.
And on sunscreens, most people don't realize it because, you again, intuitively, you mount the sunscreen where the little rubber spline that holds the screen in place. You mount that against the window, but you don't. Turn it inside out. You want to create an air gap between the sunscreen and the glass, okay? Even if you have to fur the screen out just a little bit, get it so there's creating an airspace between the glass. If those sunscreens have sagged or have gotten old or they're installed wrong and the sunscreen is resting against the glass, you're defeating the entire purpose of sunscreening the window in the first place. The other thing about sunscreens is make sure it covers the entire frame, because on an aluminum frame window, the aluminum frame is conducting as much heat into the house as the glass is. And that last point on insulated windows, if I could be king for a day, these windows that call themselves dual pane or insulated windows that are an eighth inch sheet of glass with an eighth inch air gap with another eighth inch sheet of glass, that is not insulated glass. Folks, when you're buying a good, high efficiency, energy efficient window, you're going to have at least half to 5/8 of an inch. 5/8 is better, 5/8 of an inch gap between the inboard and outboard pane of glass. Any less than that, and you're greatly diminishing the window's ability to repel heat and or cold, either one. So those are just a couple points.
And one of the next points on our home security is securing sliding windows and doors. Everyone's done it. You take the broomstick, the baseball bat, whatever, and you lay it in the track so that the door, sliding glass door, can't open because you've got a good barrier there. On an older, the newer ones are built to not allow this. The older ones, though, you can lift the door straight up. So it doesn't do any good to keep it from moving backwards because you can just pick it straight up and pop it out.
Exactly.
The newer ones have an additional bar where it has to be halfway open before you can actually pick it up and pull it out. But on the old one, so there are little pins that you can buy, steel pins, and you would just have to drill through the window frame and the frame of the stationary pane of glass and put that pin through. So when it's all the way closed, that pin goes through the sliding part and the stationary pane, and then that way you can't lift it.
The older windows and doors, if I can lift it, I can get in.
Hey, fellas, I got just one little quick point to maybe throw in, if that's all
right.
Yeah,
man.
You just got to be careful. I agree with you on the putting the pins in there, but you got to make sure with your manufacturer that you don't void the warranty by doing that, because sometimes you have to have the actual company.
I didn't
company.
Say through the glass. I said through the frame.
I know, and you're exactly right, though. If you do it through the frame, sometimes they'll void it. You just got to be careful, because some of those companies look for an excuse to void that warranty. And yeah, drilling through a frame can raise a red flag, and they might short you on the return on that.
And
so
I'll tell
just
you,
a thought.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Reesh, our board operating engineer, who we stole from Pella Doors and Windows. So he is a bit of a door and window expert himself. And I'll tell you the other thing that you have to be careful of when you're drilling those is make sure your drill bit stays away from the glass, because if it just touches the edge of that glass, particularly if it's a tempered door or a window, it will explode. So be careful about that. But the pin definitely is a much more secure environment than, and if you're still depending on dowels for safety, chances are your windows are so old they're not under warranty anymore.
I was going to say that exact same thing.
all of that and more when we get back. We do have an open line if you'd like to sneak in for the week at 1-888-767-4348.